A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
But we have to go out there on the field, we have to execute and create great habits to allow us to be, to have success, you know, play with great alignments, great assignments, great techniques, give great effort, which allow us to execute, which at the end of the day is what it's all about. But at the end of the day, football gets back to blocking, tackling, leverage, low man wins, hand placement, hat placement, steps, angles, leverages, and that's what it all is.
It's an easy formula. All you got to do is hit another guy, score more points than them. Every coach is doing the same thing. Thanks, Jimbo Fisher. There you go. That was the head coach of the Texas A&M Aggies.
When Don Shula told me that, he goes, football basically boils down to blocking and tackling. I was so disappointed. I was like, come on, there's got to be more than that.
Okay, here's my question then, Jimbo. Why do you get paid $9.5 million a year if your guys can't block or tackle or win games?
Well, and if it's that simple, I mean, anybody can do it, right?
Sorry, I got it wrong. He's not paid $9.5 million. He's made $11.5 million. Jimbo Fisher's the fourth highest paid coach in freaking college football. What a doofus.
Didn't he show up on our show before?
He shows up all the time because of the stuff he says.
Go talk to God.
You don't see somebody, go talk to God. You know, ask the football God, Nick Saban, kind of deals he's doing with the devil.
Speaking of God.
Here we go.
Greg Popovich.
Okay.
He's kind of up there,
he's
right?
He's kind of a baseball or a basketball guy. Yeah, sure. Yeah. In the coaching world. Why
and not? I just wonder, you have a big brother, right?
I've got two.
And they just probably tormented you when you were
I'm
little.
The youngest, and so I was tormented by not just older brothers, but older sisters as well.
The whole thing, right?
Yes.
And no matter how hard you try, and you may even be better, there's a certain time in your life. You just can't beat your older sibling. And I have to wonder if maybe Will Hardy's going through this with Greg Popovich. And Greg Popovich just says, look, I may have taught you everything but I did not teach you everything that I know.
Let me give you a better comparison.
Analogy?
Yeah.
Pretty good one.
It's the dad strength.
Oh.
Son and dad's strength.
Right.
So when I was in high school,
yes, I think
when I was 17 – I was like at peak strength probably for me. I remember getting to the point where I could bench over 300, mm-hmm. I could squat over 450,
yep.
and I was on the wrestling team. And my dad, who I was bigger than since I was probably about 15,
yeah.
Taller, bigger, all of it. And at this point, definitely stronger because, you know, he's working a desk job at this point. His days as a Marine, gone.
Yeah.
His days as a college football player, gone.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
there's a psychological thing that goes on top of the fact that your dad has an amount of pride you have no idea what it is. You're like, Dad? And so I asked my dad to wrestle one time. Let's wrestle, Dad. And he's like, sure. And my dad didn't even wrestle. And he beat the heck out of me.
But he was a Marine, Alex.
And he laughed. And he was laughing.
He was a Marine.
I was trying my freaking tail off, and he's laughing with his elbow in the back of my head, and I'm on the carpet, and he's just laughing because I go, okay, Dad, well, let's do this. Let's see what we got here. And he was like, you don't want to do this. And I said, come on. Dad's strength is a real thing, Will Hardy is experiencing dad strength against Greg Popovich.
That is a better analogy because I used to play golf with my dad, and then I could outdrive him, and I outscored him, and then we never played golf anymore. So when it does end,
right?
And my youngest son still thinks he's going to get taller than I am.
The biggest,
Dad, I think I've almost got you now.
Well, he's like 20, isn't he?
Yeah.
And so he's probably got a couple years maybe left that he could grow.
He's not going to outgrow me.
All right, fine. But the dad strength is a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Older brother conniving ways is a real thing.
Yes.
When my brother, I could never beat him at anything, right? Ever.
Right.
And my mom's like, don't relax. Relax. You're going to be bigger than he is. And I was.
Right.
And you know what happened? He still beat me at everything. It was terrible.
Well, you have to wonder if Greg Popovich is just flexing that muscle right now.
Oh.
Because there's no reason that San Antonio should not beat the Jazz this year. No way.
Two out of three so far. Now they're going to be in San Antonio again. And we'll see how that goes. Scott, let me ask you anything. That's what our segment is. We get to ask you anything, and we're going to do it courtesy of the folks at Matlan Supply. Locations throughout Utah for all of your HVAC, plumbing, waterworks, geotextile, landscape, agricultural, irrigation needs, mountainlandsupply.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Let me ask you first about the pitch clock before we get to Jimbo Fisher, because I do want to get back to what his stupidity was. But the Major League Baseball pitch clock is in spring shaved off on average per game 26 minutes.
That's a half an hour. That's it. Look, baseball games that you go watch, Major League Baseball, they go a while.
They go a while.
And, people are getting up and they're of course it is. Yes, because they get up, they go get their popcorn, they come back, they go get their beverage, they come back, they go get. And so if you're on the end, you're constantly getting up and getting down, but people don't care because they just go, right?
So are you?
Because you're not going to really miss anything.
Are you disappointed by the fact that when you go to a game, because watching games on TV, having it shortened by a half hour, that actually works great because you're going, hey man, this is great for me. This works out better. And I knew the pitch clock was successful because the Bees games have been doing this for a while now, and it's awesome to get home and be like, oh, dude, that was a 2 hour and 23 minute game,
right?
And that's way better than having to go through a three and a half hour game. It's so bad, and so the Major League pitch clock shaving off those 26 minutes, great. I think unless you're at the game, which you want to waste time at, it's America's waste time, not pastime.
Actually, I look at it as it's adding 26 minutes to my life. So I'm actually extending my life.
There you go.
Where I don't have to watch baseball. But what I'm concerned about is you can't get up and down anymore.
Oh, you can't miss any action.
No, you can't be missing the action. So if they had a drone, like if they could drone my food and I didn't have to miss.
Hold on.
No, but I want a drone.
Jeremy's like,
I don't want someone to deliver. I want a drone and just have it come out of the sky. So it's
what
right
about in, a drink? How do they drone your drink in?
Well, they have like, have you not seen drones today? Okay. Let me just tell you something.
I still want like an ability to catch something that it
hang
drops.
Hang on. You have to do it. You're going to St. George.
Yes.
Okay. There's a Japanese steakhouse. They have some kind of robot that brings the food out to people by itself.
Yeah, it's the same robot that vacuums the Walmart aisles,
and
right?
it will sing happy birthday. It will wish you a happy anniversary. That's what I want. I want some drone, so I don't even have to gaze my eyes away from the action
ever. Okay,
and I will spend more. I will eat more. I will be a consumer. If I get a drone in a baseball game. And if you can do that, I love saving 26 minutes.
Okay. So drop a drone, drop a drink on Scott's lap.
Drop a drone.
look, Amazon's been trying to figure this out too. Can I just drop a drone of a package at your house?
Let me tell you, you know what they're doing?
Huh?
They spent $1 billion. I want to say it was United Airlines for 200 drones for a taxi service to take people.
I would be nervous as hell.
Could you imagine being droned?
But like, drug me before you drone me, please.
Gonna,
I do not want
to drone me to some.
I don't want to be. I don't want to be in a pilotless situation. I don't want to be in it because what they're saying is like, well, I mean, if this thing goes down, we won't lose anybody. Well, I mean, we'll lose you, but right. we won't lose any of our crew.
Yeah,
we'll just lose. We'll just get $300,000 drone or whatever.
Yeah, we'll get a new drone.
You can't get a new you, but we'll get a new drone. If you pulled up and the robot is into the pilot seat, I'm out.
They spent $1 billion on this.
Well, hopefully it works for them. Yeah. I'm not taking it.
If they can spend $1 billion and drone a person
and I get
and give me a drink at a baseball game.
I've seen too many of those videos of the Tesla cars blowing through the fake intersection and hitting the fake kid that I go, I can't do it yet. I can't do the automated everything yet.
You can't get in your Tesla and fall asleep.
Have you
and just
seen
let
those
it...
videos of people who are in California and they're on the freeway and they're just... And they go down the road asleep in the front seat, both passengers. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I would never trust it.
I'm a control freak. I couldn't do it either.
All right. So Jimbo Fisher, speaking of control freaks.
Yes.
He says, yeah, every football team does the same thing. You got to hit. You got to score. You got to throw the football, complete it. And I don't know what he was getting at. I don't know what he was trying to say.
Well, his point is that... nothing's original in football.
Everyone
steals from everyone. So schemes are all the same, and there's some truth to that because in my experience, when you'd go learn a new offense, it was just a different name for the same thing. So you were basically learning a language. You know, how do they call a formation, and how do they call this protection, and how do they call this pass play or this running play, and they all have their own little cute name for it, but it means the same.
So
there's some truth. There is some truth to it, but it's a whole lot more complicated than what Jimbo Fisher said.
It sounds like a really dumb, like, hey man, aren't we all animals on this planet? It's like, dude, no. He goes, it's not scheme. Bobby Petrino's not going to invent some amazing scheme. It's like, well, then why'd you hire him?
No,
it's
about execution. It is scheme.
And that's what he says. It's not.
No,
he goes,
but
it's not. It's about execution.
But here's the scheme.
We have the sound right here. Here's what he said about it.
We get so caught up in it's not scheme. It's execution. And then that goes back to how do you execute? Fundamentals, alignment, assignment, technique, no matter what you do. And if you want to know technicals, if you go watch everybody in the country, everybody does the same thing. Go watch film. If you sit down and watch film, there's not a hill of beans between anybody as far as what goes on, what routes are, what plays are. It's a counter is a counter. A dig and a post is a dig and a post. Verticals are verticals. I mean, it's all the same. It gets back to execution and fundamentals.
Everybody runs the same routes.
Hold on just a second there. Hold on just a second. Because
a dig is a dig. A vertical is a vertical. Like, come on.
No, well, no, it is, but it's like, so... So what he's describing, these are tools, okay? And you take a tool, and you're going to use it to build a house or to construct a scheme, right? And he's right. You know, there's only so many ways you can run a route. There's only so many ways you can block. There's only so many ways you can pass protect. That's very true. But it's when do you use those things? When do you call a vertical? When do you call a dig? When do you – and that's the difference. And it really is. And it's a willingness to get creative in the timing of when you call certain plays. So, for example, very few teams are going to go, we're going to run a go route, a vertical, on first down, the first play of a game. Some people go, hey, why don't we try this? A lot of people won't. Some people go, every time we start a drive and we're inside our 20-yard line, we're going to run the ball. Most teams in college football actually run on second down, no matter what. It's a very common thing at the University of Utah. If you've thrown the ball on first down, if you've run the ball on first down, more than likely you're going to run the ball again on second down. And the philosophy, that's the scheme, is – we want to try to get at least some positive yards to make third down not so long or not so hard. And then you get other coaches like a Lincoln Riley. And you know what Lincoln Riley does? Man, we're going for it on fourth down. Like, we're going to be really aggressive in how we call plays. And that's where it's different. And you got to get smart minds, creative minds. You show different formations, show different – that's scheme. That's being smart. That's being innovative. That's being creative. Andy Reid in the Super Bowl, he did some things and where they scored the touchdowns that were wide open. And he was good at watching what the other team did and calling plays at the right time. And that's been my experience, is when you get someone who's really good at that and understands that, it's fun to play for a coach like that. When you get a coach that's not like that, that's not creative, that's kind of timid, kind of plays not to lose as opposed to being aggressive and playing to win, that's where things that happens. And all coaches are not created equal.
No, they're not. No.
They're just not. Kyle Whittingham's philosophy, this isn't a knock on Kyle Whittingham, is to be very conservative. However, he's modified that philosophy as he's evolved in the Pac-12, knowing that you've got to be aggressive, you have to score more points, and so
and
there's
now he's
a
two-time champion.
There's a willingness to change, but it is not just everybody does the same thing. That's a silly
Jimbo Fisher.
Silly statement.
You can't say that when you're making $10 million a year, or whatever it is. You can't. You got to say we have some stuff in our bag of tricks that are better than other people, and you can't just go, well, the reason we went 5-7 last year. By the way, that was their record. A&M went freaking 5-7. They have like the best recruiting class, or at least the top three in the past 4 years. All right,
let me give you another example really quick. Okay, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Before we get
yes.
up. So Don Shula was a good example of this, right? He was about execution. So you practice these plays over and over and over again. But then when you got in the game, if you saw something that wasn't right, you had to change the play. So what is that? Is that execution? Is that scheme? Is that – and you were taught how to do that. And you were taught how to recognize that. And that scheme, that's smart coaching, that's smart football. But if you're – you know, if everyone does it the same, because everyone doesn't do it. When I was with the Baltimore Ravens and Brian Billick, he said, if you ever change one of my plays, I'll bench you. You run what I've told you to run. End of discussion. And so there are two coaches running the same thing.
Did you get benched?
Yeah.
You're like, that's a dumb play. We're doing something else.
That is a dumb offense is what it was.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we have our What Are the Odds Around the Corner. We're about an hour off of Jazz pregame coming up here on the Jazz Radio Network. This What Are the Odds is going to be fun. Some Jazz questions, a Lamar Jackson question. Stay with us right here. It's 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.